Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Welcome back to, what is this, episode number 5? I'm so excited. I know I start that every single time, but I really am so excited to be back. This little mini series on Acts of the Apostles and the mission of motherhood has been so helpful for me in terms of just thinking through and wrestling with and talking to other moms who have got all sorts of thoughts about this and who are just really living witnesses of being on mission in motherhood. And today's no different. Today is actually special, and it is different because I am bringing onto the podcast somebody I've known since I was like 2 years old. This is like one of my very best friends in the entire universe. We call each other half heart. Is that embarrassing to say? I apologize. I love this woman, and she is long distance friend, gosh darn it. But here we are late at night chatting it up after our kids are in bed. Nora, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What should I say? Wah, 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 wah. Welcome, Nora.
I'm a little concerned about...
Do you feel official?
I do. I'm concerned about the whole world hearing essentially our very long voicemails that we send every day.
I know. To each other. We like voicemail all the time, and I'm like, let's make it public. Like, this is a great idea.
Here's our half-hour voice memo.
Literally. But truly, we talked about this before, but we are okay with the fact that, like, some of the concepts we talk about today as we are walking in and wrestling with it might be like half-baked, right? And it might not be a full thought that we can put all sorts of theology behind yet, but that doesn't mean it's not worth talking about and suggesting as we play with the Acts of the Apostles and motherhood, right? So
I like that word too.
I just love, yes, and I love you, Nora, and I love that you are always thinking things differently than I'm thinking. We are very close friends, but we don't always approach the world the same way, which is great. And so I just want to like pull the veil aside on all sorts of profound thoughts that you've shared with me over the years. And now I've got you on the show and I get to do that. So here's your interrogation. Okay, but let's start. You're like, please hang on. Let's start with backstory. So you were a missionary, you were a teacher, now you're married, now you're mom of three beautiful boys. Tell us about pre-mom Nora, okay? How did you view mission, Acts of the Apostles? How are you participating in the mission of the church, would you say? And then tell us about mom Nora. And what was that like? Just kind of give us a story, girl.
Well, as you know, I thought I was very holy pre-mom Nora.
Didn't we all?
I was like, man, I am living it. I am a missionary. I am sacrificing. I am awesome at doing this joyfully. I loved St. Paul. I prayed to God to marry St. Paul. He did not answer that. And I'm so grateful because I have male friends who are like St. Paul. And man, I think I would kill them as I if I was married to them. Yeah, so I was an outdoor missionary. I worked in Colorado for a while. And then I ended up being a teacher for a while and a coach and doing several other things. And then got married in the midst of teaching. And now have three boys. And I feel a little bit like St. Paul. I am beaten up very frequently and left for dead on the couch.
Shipwrecked, scourged, bitten by poisonous snakes 3 times, whatever he said.
But I feel like the joy is a lot more real, which has been great. And the struggle is also a lot more real. I actually don't know who this man was, which I feel bad about, but at some wedding, we were sitting next to the parents of some very important priest. And we got set next to them, and that was great. But he's, like, in charge of the American something for the Vatican. Anyways, very holy people. And they said, you know, everything you've done up to this point, you think matters. But it doesn't really, because all of it was just preparation for your vocation. And it is your vocation and through your vocation that you are going to go to heaven. And your love for your spouse and your children is how you go to heaven, nothing else. And I feel like that's a pretty good summation.
Wow.
Because it's a lot harder.
That's bold.
Yeah, it is. They were very old and very holy, so I was kind of like, okay, great, I believe you.
Right, you're like, I would believe what you say, actually. Wow, okay, crazy. You really were doing things. Like, you were doing more than the average bear in terms of, like you said, sacrificing, giving yourself, and, like, living in poverty and living, you know, kind of in a mouse-infested, like, no Wi-Fi, cold place in the mountains to serve kids on retreat. You know what I'm saying?
The mice were the worst part, as we all know.
Nora's not afraid of anything except for mice, somehow.
Terrified.
Mice. Little mice. Yeah. She'd rather take a snake than a mouse.
Yep. Anyways.
Or a bear. Okay, so, like, the transition to motherhood for you, did you always think, I mean, obviously when you got married, motherhood's a lot more present in your mind, that, you know, this is a real possibility, but, like, what was the transition like when you, you know, think about that first year, first kid, you know?
Yeah, so I always wanted to be a mom. For some reason, I didn't think I was going to be able to. I went through a weird process, too, of being like, maybe I'll be a consecrated single for a while, and Jesus was like, nope.
Yes, me too.
But yes. I know.
I love that.
I really had these grand ideas of like, we're gonna get married, we're gonna start a nonprofit mission together, our kids are gonna be part of it. And my husband was really on board with that. We like have a crazy story, but
you do have a crazy story.
When we were not dating, but I was fairly certain he was going to be my husband, he walked into my RA office at one point and was like, this is my dream for my life. And it was also my dream for my life. And
wow.
It was a big mission, and I was really angry. And I said, I have to leave now, and I walked out.
you cannot have the same dream as me.
Yeah.
And not be dating me.
Yeah. But I also have seen people who have done really big things with those early kids, and it be really hard on the kids, really hard on the parents. And so I knew, because God's kind of shown me some of those struggle cases in my life, and you and I have talked about those, that maybe that wasn't where God was going to be calling us. So in my head, I really wanted to, like, we talked to so many people. We had people approach us being like, we would love for you to run this thing for us, we would love to buy you land, we'd love to do all these things. Anyways, God shut all those doors, and I'm so grateful, because I feel like our family as a unit really needs to be a mission, and that's been something that's been really cool, is watching actually in this mission that we are feel called to as a family right now. My kids are the main people that minister, it's not us.
And
that's really humbling. But even, like, my baby is the best minister of all of them. Like, if someone comes over lonely or angry or anything like that, my baby immediately, he does not like some people that are related to us, but if someone really needs it, he will crawl into their lap. And it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess.
Wow.
I guess you need the baby snuggles right now. So.
Wow. I mean, and it's the humility that you have that take, that your children are doing the important work alongside you and with you. I just think, I don't know, I want to honor you for this, that you have so much patience and you have slowed down. And I know that you're like, no, I don't. Like, but like, I have walked with you in this process. I'm a couple years behind you in terms of marriage and kids, right? But we have the same kind of idea, vision, hope for, you know, marriage and future, you know, similar things.
Ideally close together, Lord.
I know, I'm like, Lord, why are we so far apart? But there was a part of me that didn't understand why it wasn't happening, because you were getting offers and people were going to buy you land. Like, crazy things happen to you all the time. And it was like, but this is, the God keeps shutting the door. When is this going to happen? Nora the adventurous, Nora this. And I've been learning in my own motherhood and being so, like, grateful to watch you be able to gracefully say, just because I dreamed it back then doesn't mean that that's the dream right now. And that doesn't mean that I'm giving up on it. It's like God is going to be faithful in his own way, and he's going to call me to this when and if he's going to call me to it. And I can surrender the grasp I have on, like, this vision I had for my life, even if, like, pre-mom Monica is judging me for my choices. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I walked through it. And I still think you guys are going to have this crazy twist in life and do something. But, you know, I think that it's because your patience to the season. I think that's really, I've been working on the word dream of the season from January Donovan to Women's School. But, like, the dream of the season, you're so good at, you and Mark with your navigator meetings, dreaming in this season and having foresight to think about the next season. But you're like, right now, this is the season. So we're not trying to, like, overextend ourselves to prove to the world that we're really adventurous or cool or missionary. We're this is enough and this is it. Yeah. And I don't know. There's a richness. So that's really, really cool. Really, really cool. And with that too, I mean, you seriously have elevated, and this is what we're going to talk about through a couple different concepts today in this episode. You've been able to see your quote ordinary life and see it elevated, see it through like God's eyes. The Moses song is like, heaven's eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course I do.
That's like totally in my mind. Okay, so first one up that I want to pick your brain about, as much as you want to share, but you have, I've never heard anybody talk about birth like this. You've done 3 births, home births. Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, but you talk about it in relation to the passion. Like, you've written this beautiful, like, you know, as labor is beginning, early labor, as the agony of the garden. And then, like, as you progress, you're progressing towards the crucifixion. And Jesus on the cross bore the church out of his side, okay? Bore, like, he gave life, he gave birth in a certain, you know, biblical sense. And you at your crucifixion, at your moment of are giving birth. I don't know, can you just talk us anything you want to go, what any direction you want to go there? Just talk.
I think first of all, if you haven't given birth, do not be afraid of this.
It's a good disclaimer, actually. Thank you.
The worst thing that could possibly happen in human history. I think that I was really angry. My first birth was really hard. It was basically 4 days of active labor, and there was a lot to go into that. And I think that God allowed that, but it was a long time of natural labor, and I was pretty angry coming
out of car rides in that 4 days also. She's back in the car. Why is she back in the car?
Felt like a cow being transported. But I was like, okay, so Mama Mary apparently never had pain in childbirth, some theologians say, and Jesus is supposed to have felt all of the pain in the world, I was told as a child, but he never gave birth. So, like, I'm just alone in this. And I was angry. And so I sat down in adoration. I was like, all right, Lord, let's talk about this. And then I kind of realized, like, oh, no. It started, Thomas More wrote The Sorrow of Christ, I think, when he was preparing for his own execution. And he goes through each part of the Passion of Our Lord and explains it. And there's one part where he talks about how our Lord was more anxious and fearful in the agony of the garden than anyone has ever been. And he talks about, you know, like, all of these martyrs may have gone into martyrdom with great courage, but for those who don't have that courage and don't have that grace, Christ walked through this great fear of allowing, you know, that consolation of confidence in the Father to be taken from him. And that kind of started my thoughts of, like, okay, so maybe you didn't go through this, like, in the same way, but seeing a lot of similarities. Someday I will post this to Substack, and we can put it in the show notes.
We will come back and we will replay this episode and we'll put on the show notes. Heck yeah. Nora's Substack.
Someday. This is one of my great dreams.
Little Goober Peas Substack, am I right?
But if you know Monica, feel free to also just ask her for it, and I will forward you the Google Doc.
The Catholic Bible Class with Mon at gmail.com. Booyah.
Yes, we can share the Google Doc.
Because it's gorgeous. I mean, I have given birth. I have not given birth naturally, and it is just, it's just inspiring. Yeah, it goes to the next level. It's really cool. And it's just, yeah, it brings meaning to something that people like to, including me, take away. I don't want to do that. I want my epidural.
To be fair, but I like, also still don't. Every time I'm like, oh, I have to give birth again, I'm like, oh, okay. But
you're never like, woo.
Well, yeah, I have moments where I'm like, oh, I'm excited to like experience this again. But anyways, that's a whole nother. There are many podcasts on that. This is not that one.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, yeah. But thank you for sharing that, because, yeah, I just think that's one huge area that I am really inspired by, like, your words and what you're doing here. Okay. But I know we're talking about Acts of the Apostles today. So we're going to go to Acts of the Apostles. We're kind of talking generally about Acts. We're not going to a specific passage. I have it, like, opened up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not really actually reading. So I'm just going to put my hand on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk to me, Bible.
Yes.
But, okay, this whole miniseries, right, has been, like, the exploration of, like, the kind of the difference between, like, the action of Acts of the Apostles and, like, the simplicity of motherhood. And how that doesn't mean that Acts of the Apostles doesn't apply to moms, right? Or, you know, we're like, what do I do with this? I feel challenged by the fact that these guys are out there doing things that I physically can't do right now. So, I don't know. You have talked about seasons, and I like how you talk about seasons. Different seasons of different kids, like one kid, two kids, three kids, or, yeah, I guess let's start there. How have things changed? How have you changed? How have your relationship with God changed as you progress through seasons of motherhood? And how can you, like, can you say some encouragement to, like, moms who are in different seasons who are like, this is going to be this way forever? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I currently have three boys, four and under. For a hot second there, I had three and under, which was a party.
That was wild. It was like a good 3 months that was, right? That was a whole summer.
Yeah. But my next door neighbor and dear friend had 3, 2, and under for a while, so I can't say anything.
Wow. How? Okay, sorry. Keep going.
Fertile Myrtle. I have to say, though, I feel like overall having three is way easier than having one. Having two is way easier than having one. Just because
wild.
I do feel wild like take. You kind of, you like read the Acts of the Apostles and they are just kind of in a groove, you know, like I love the idea of like a ship, even though, I mean, Paul gets shipwrecked a decent amount, or like a lighthouse and just like, oh here's a storm. Mm-hmm. and you know, like when you're a new sailor, or I'm sure the people who like had to deal with lighthouses the first storm, they're like, oh my gosh, this is gonna ruin us. But then you just kind of learn like, oh nope, this is just a phase, everything's fine. But the first like year, the first child is just like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible mom and I'm going to ruin my child,
right?
And then by the third I'm like, you're fine, it's fine, everything's, you know,
your tolerance for chaos has really increased. Yeah,
and there's just a deep peace that settles in you because it has to, and because you've seen it play out, and you kind of have this, it's funny, you know, like I have a lot of noise in my life, but I remember being a young adult. Now I'm an old adult, but being a young single adult and being like, I don't know how to have constant mental prayer. And now I feel like, oh, of course, I'm talking with God all day long. Like there's just this give and take of like, oh, this child is doing this. Now, do I listen to him always? No, but
yes, but you have the accessibility to him. Wow, that's crazy. Okay.
And I feel like kind of you like see this with Acts where they're just like, all right, we're moving, we're grooving, we have the Holy Spirit. Like, but it's almost like you need to be busy enough to be able to do that. But with one child, you're just staring at them like, what do I do with you?
Literally.
You're just here. So I found that really stressful, but I feel like we're in our groove. And I was even talking with a dear friend of mine at the park today, and I was like, I have so much more time and freedom as a mother of three than I did with one, just also because my husband and I kind of have this groove down of like, okay, you do this and I do this, and we know how to like juggle our kids and how to read each other's needs and ask for our needs, and that's also really beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you've described it to me before, because like I've said, Nora's a couple kids ahead of me, and it has been really encouraging to be like, oh, and like she sent me a text the other day that was like, this is your future. And it was like her oldest playing with her youngest. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. You know, because I'm like stressing about two. I'm like, oh my gosh. But like, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Oh, you've compared it to being like an athlete before and saying like, you know, the first year you're trying something, you're doing something, you're not as good at it. It's not that first time moms are not good moms. That's not it. But like, this is brand new. But by the time you're in your third season, you're like, oh, this is old hat. I know this. Like, I've developed routines and systems. And you especially have emphasized to me the importance of like, yeah, like a cleaning system. How do I do this? And how do I host somebody? And things that are just like, you're not making it up as you go along. You have like a plan. And I don't know, it's rhythmic. And it's interesting you say that about the acts, because on one hand, it just looks like chaos. Everything they're doing is like, blah. But on the other hand, that's not true. They have ecumenical councils, and they meet, and they write letters, and they circulate them, and they come into agreement on things, and they do have systems. And God is delivering prophetic dreams to Peter, and he's speaking to them, you know. So I really like this comparison that the Acts of the Apostles are in a groove, because they're young. They're an early church. They're starting it. But they have, you know, just like young moms. I don't know. I just think that there's some hope there. So thanks for...
And it, yeah, I think that just there's kind of a joy in embracing the chaos and being like, well, I didn't think I was going to be here, but I'm here and there must be a reason for it. So great. We're moving forward with that. Mark always says like, oh, our kids are the hand of God. And if something's totally derailing our plans or our life, you look at me and just go, hand of God. And it's so true, well, because there's so many times that I'm like, okay, I'm going to have this done today or do this or whatever. And then a child will throw up. Yeah, just being like, well, it's the hand of God, and being able to see that and just rest in that.
I mean, wow, yeah. That is a level of maturity. I love the concept, but I'm not there with the operation of that, because it feels like, I know too, the book Total Abandonment to God's Providence, isn't that like a book that you have loved?
Yes.
Yes. So like Total, that is just that principle. Providence. Thank you.
Also, The Way of Imperfection.
Oh, yes. You've given that to me twice. Yes, yes.
I gave it to you twice.
I finally read it.
So aggressive. No,
it's so funny. I was like, how do I have two copies? I was like, Nora has given this to me two times. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. There's the Heart of Imperfection.
That's Colleen Carol Campbell.
Yes. And then there's
that one's good.
The Way of Perfection. And that one's also really good. I don't know if I
The Way of Imperfection, I think. Yeah, it's got a crack. Yes. Yeah, it's good. That one's really good, too. It's shorter. Yeah.
Yes. Anyways.
Yeah. And I think that that, too, reminds me of Acts, because it's like, they are, you know, like, you. This is the chaos. It's like, Paul is going somewhere, and then he's shipwrecked, and he's like, yeah, I count it as a joy. You know, he asked for this thorn in the side to be removed, and it's not. He's like, all right. Like, he's rolling with the punches. It's not that the Acts of the Apostles is, like, this perfectly laid out plan. It's that they're really yielding to the Holy Spirit. And, like, if that's what you're doing in your home, yielding to the Holy Spirit every time something changes, you are doing it. Like, I just think you're so in sync with them. You're, like, on the team. I don't know. I just, It makes me think this is way more accessible to me than I give it credit for, because I think I have to be doing something beyond. I don't know. It also reminds me, Francis de Sales, he said something like, and this is a different train of thought, but like he said, you have no business fasting if you can't like be patient with life circumstances and stop sinning. And I was like, I'm going to take that as an excuse to never fast again. But like, seriously, I was like, wow, bet. Like self-imposing your own penances, cherry-picking your own penances. Like, I'll give up this and that. But then you just yell at your kids when, you know, like, first look at life like you're just described as, this is from the hand of God and I'm going to receive it and be grateful for it.
Yeah.
That mentality is the first thing to work on, instead of like, I'm going to punish myself.
Yeah.
Anyways, thoughts on that?
Amen.
Amen.
Mark my husband should really be on this, because he's like the wise person here. But I do
this
feel
is not
like,
true. I mean, he is wise, but so are you.
He frequently also says, all of my problems stem from me having the assumption that my time is my own. And if I wake up in the morning saying, here, Lord, I am, I come to do your will, show me what you want me to do in every moment, then I'm so joyful. But when I, like, have my list and I burk throughout the day, he's like, then I just hate my life. I'm like, yeah, no, it's true.
I mean, wow. I mean, yeah, I gotta sit with that one for a minute. I'm like, oh, gosh, he is talking to me. He really does know the Lord, though. I mean, like, seriously, you guys both, like, yeah. Whew, I gotta keep moving, or I'm just gonna be like, let's talk about that forever, because how do you not see, how do you balance seeing God, the time as God's, and like, God, what do you want me to do? But also taking steps and being effective with your time as well, you know, but also being detached from it, you know? But we won't go there, if that's okay.
Holy Stick Spirit a pin in that power. One.
Okay.
Resurrection yes. power.
Resurrection power. Easter season, baby.
We'll send more. Okay, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's part two. over dishes. Your home. You have described your home, and this is so cool. Another thing that you have seen and elevated as not just a home. You first of all, you take such good care of your home. You have a little homestead. You literally have crazy animal stories. It's insane. But also you like spend time working in your home and beautifying your home and bringing flowers into your home and decorating your home and painting and all these different things, right? Really making home a sanctuary. First of all, you have to tell the story of how you bought your house. But then I want to hear too, like, the concept you have of home as a chapel and a place where your domestic church actually really lives. But let's break it down one piece at a time. The story of how you bought your house is just wild. Just, can you share?
Yeah. Bonzo Tower.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Did I read that?
That's or awesome. The Green Tower.
I knew the Green Tower.
Bonzo Tower, yeah. When Mark and I were about to get married, we had one day to find a home. And we were like, if we do not find our home on this day, we will not buy a home and we will rent somewhere.
Like, wait, why is this the case? This
because we happened? Were so busy.
Oh, we were so, okay, got it. I'm like, who is making you do this? Your realtor is like, this is how this works.
Well, our realtor thought we were crazy. Our realtor grew up knowing Mark. So.
Okay.
Anyways. Yeah. So we were like, great. We knew we wanted a home in this town, so we had a budget, and that was about it. And so she like took us to a few homes, and Mark at the beginning, again, this is just gonna be the Mark show, Mark at the beginning was like, okay, Nora, if you could choose our first home, what would you choose about it? And he's like, not our forever home, but like our first home. And I like leaned all the way back in the car and closed my eyes. And I was like, all right, Mark, I would like a greenhouse with a red door. And I'd like it to be on some land. It cannot have a homeowners association because Mark is far too feral for that. I want wood floors or like fake wood floors. I want a kitchen sink window that looks out onto the backyard. I want a stone fireplace, but it's okay if it's gas. I had a few more things. And then Mark's was, it has to have a basement that you can walk in with separate entrance.
'Cause the Airbnb concept, right? Okay. Yeah. Or the renters, yeah.
And we wanted an acre would be nice.
Okay.
And so we're like, okay, great. So we like went to a few houses and they were all busts. And then we went to this house that there were no pictures online at all because it was being built at the time. so there's not a single picture. And we pulled up to this absolute mud hole. It was pouring rain. The entire front part of it, half acre, was just a mudslide. We were literally like sliding almost on our butts to get into this house. And we walk up to the front door and Mark just starts like hysterically laughing. And it is a greenhouse with a red door, which is now blue because apparently Damien in my belly decided, no, we need a blue door.
Is that a pregnancy project?
Yes. Mark came home and he's like, we have blue door. Don't worry about it. and it had all of those things, and we literally turned around and we said, we'll take it. And she was like, that's not how it works. And we're like, no, we'll take it. This is our offer. And I think we bought it the next day. It was incredibly fast.
It's insane. It's just insane.
But
like house, nobody has a story like that. What?
Well, and I, you know, the house was bigger than we wanted at the time. I had been living out of a tent before this, and Mark had been living in a shed. And so,
Really cool, guys. Really cool. Two homeless people get married.
Literally, I remember we sat eating off of what is now our trash bin, and we had no furniture, and we were like, we own a refrigerator. Can you believe that we own a refrigerator? It was so shocking to both of us. Anyways,
you're like, now we don't have to eat our ham hot. We can eat it cold.
But, I don't know why I said ham. But it was really, I remember just being like, Lord, this is too big. It will take a long time to fill this house. And you just kept being like, this isn't your house. I gave it to you, but it is not yours. It is yours to steward, and that is it. And I will fill the house, don't worry. And I think that's where we're about to go. But we have both very much felt called to hospitality, and have since day
okay,
one.
Keep going. Just go into that, please. Yeah.
And so the first year, we ended up having like over 100 people visit / a lot of them stay the night with us.
Like 100 people. That is like so many.
I think it was 130 something.
Wow.
We had,
and you're just like cooking for these people, and they're just passing through, and you're just cooking for them and board game nights with them and hanging out and coffee and
During our wedding, actually, I think we had like 20 people staying here.
I know, that's wild too.
And I walked into our house, and someone said, "Oh, hi, welcome. Can I like get you?"
You're like, "This
something?
Is my house."
Yeah, I was like, "I have no clue who you are, but this is, I am moving into this house in a little bit."
Like, you're really hospitable too, but like misdirected.
Yeah, they cleaned up after themselves very nicely, but yeah, and you know, we've been blessed to have random people stay with us for a month or so at a time. We had a little family stay with us for a while, that we took them a meal and their roof fell in that morning, and they ended up staying with us for a month.
Wow.
And we've had some other people off and on. Anyways, it's been a huge blessing though, just to have this space and to have this little home. So,
I mean, and to the fearlessness to, and the selflessness to fill it. Like, you weren't necessarily, or were you? Were you having events? Were you having like soup Sundays, or like coffee dates or coffee houses? Everyone come? Or was it more like organic? Like, people would just need a place?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And we've had a lot of couch surfers come through. Yeah,
I know,
like,
you
here
have.
We are.
I just remember you saying to your ideas like, "Oh, I didn't know you were coming. I'll just add more water to the soup." And I was like, "Wow, that is detached." Because I'd be like, "We're running to the store. We need another meal. Throw out the soup. Burn it. Like, we need tacos." Like, so the
for the record, usually I try to add more rice and things too, not just water.
Okay, sure.
But right. That comes from one of our big patrons that I actually prayed to. I prayed a super long, like 50-day novena to him at one point that I'd find my spouse before I went on the Camino, was Isidore the farmer. And I have loved him since I was a child. And Mark really loves him too. But they are one of the only, well, they're one of the few married couples that both of them are saints. Maria de Cabeza is his wife, who's also a saint. And they had no children. But one of their things is every night as he walked home, he would invite anyone he saw on the road to their home.
Wow.
And
wow.
They always had enough food. God just would, like, she'd put more water in the soup and it would, like, suddenly
just
be
enough.
An actual soup.
Wow.
And so that was also, he's a big
a
one
huge
for
inspiration.
Us. Yeah.
Okay, wait, can we sidetrack real quick to talk about this idea of patron saints of the family? Because I know this is not specific to, like, well, it is specific to motherhood, but the idea that, like, you guys have patron saints of your family, how did they come about? Did you say at one point, I think we should pick these guys to be our patron saints, like, of the family, as opposed to just Nora's or Mark's? Like, can you walk me through that?
Yeah, they stalk us. we've had some saints that have just kind of stalked us. Saint Benedict was really aggressive. We now have a Benedict child, but
we surrendered.
Yeah. There were a lot of Benedict medals and things given to us when we got married. But yeah, I think kind of as we discern our charism as well, somewhere there is a resource for this, but discerning kind of your, we did not do the official resource. We were like, that's a nice idea. And then we did it. But, similar to how each, convent, or religious order has, like, they are, you know, one of these, different charisms.
Yeah, like their apostolate is centered on their charism. Yes. Right, yes. Okay.
And their lifestyle is centered on that. We kind of, you know, prayed through that. We prayed through, like, here are our words that are our pillars that we want to have our family rest on. A lot of our readings for our Mass were kind of around those things.
Your wedding Mass?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you were thinking about this even before a family was really, like, children coming along. You were really thinking about this so intentionally.
Yeah.
Was this prompted by marriage prep at all? Or was this really just you and Mark in your prayer with the Lord?
I have no idea. Yeah, no. Okay, that was a long time ago, Monica.
I know. I just love this. And I just, it never, I mean, I know you've said this to me before because it was familiar. But, like, just the idea that the different religious orders have their charisms and different families have their charisms is very freeing, because then, you know, you're a group of moms at a playground and you're hearing, oh, this mom is doing her side hustle. Oh, and this mom is hosting 100 people a year. Oh, and this mom is, you know, working at the soup kitchen. And this one, you're like, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? Everybody's doing something different. Am I supposed to be fitting in with all of them and doing? And it's like, if you know what God's calling you and your spouse to do and who you're supposed to be and what your family's supposed to be, and you can stand on your own call and mission, and you can celebrate the fact that somebody else is doing their thing without feeling like you have to compensate or overcompensate or compare or compete with them. You know what I'm saying? So I really like your confidence and your, it feels like you stand on authority when you know your charism is your family. You can name it and describe it and talk about your patron saints. So anyways, anything else you wanted to share about the process of doing that? Because I just really think it's unique that you do that. If somebody wanted to get started, where would you send them?
They will find you.
Just start praying. Just start looking around.
Also, we do a different saint each year.
Cool.
We will go to a party sometimes, but sometimes that's local. Sometimes Jen Fulweiler also has a find a saint of the year, but they are weird. I have to say, the years we've done hers, it's like Saint Wildegardica, and you're like, oh gosh, you like look them up and they have nothing about them. But there have been certain saints that have really stuck with us after that year. Yeah. And they're pretty spot on, especially when we go to this party, hilariously.
Very prophetic party.
It is. But, yeah, I think something Father Nathan Cromley, I remember, said when I was single was that, like, the devil, and I mean, this is Ignatian spirituality, but the devil distracts you with good things, and I think that's been really helpful to just remember. As a couple, we really try to be like, okay, what's our mission, what's our goals, what's our hopes and dreams, and not get distracted by those things. I do not take meals basically ever for meal trains, and my dear friend across the street, even as she's pregnant with her fourth and has all these little ones, takes a meal train like once a week. And her husband's traveling and all these different things. And every time I do, everything is a disaster. And I'm like, clearly the Lord is not blessing this. So, you know,
that's awesome. And it's awesome to say that. Thank you for saying that. Because that is, the permission to be like, I know that I'm not slacking. I'm just doing what I'm called to do. And I can be confident. Yeah. Yeah. There's not just one way. There's actually a lot. Which is why we even need to talk about mission and motherhood, because we are all called to it in a different way according to who we are. So,
and I think some people are also called to kind of a cloister life too. You know, like,
sure,
it's so easy to look at Acts and be like, oh, why am I not going out? And even at different seasons, you know, with our, I think that's so important to be like, yeah, there have always been people who are praying. There have always been people who are prayer warriors. Yeah.
Right. It's like the patron saint of mission, Saint Therese.
Yeah.
Never went on mission. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Okay, so wait, let's return back. I know we did a little caveat there to the home. So the home chapel concept. Can you break this down? And can you talk about your confessional?
Yes. I am not the first one to come up with the home chapel the home oratory. They are theology of the home, and many people have said it much more beautifully than I have. But there was a very chaotic day that I was praying through this, and I was sitting there praying, and my beautiful second child, who really enjoys chaos, had dumped out all of the Legos and all the Magna tiles and all of the knights and every book and all of the blocks into a fort on the floor, which is, they go through these stages that they build forts, which just means like gather everything you can get your hands on into a tower. And it's so chaotic.
You're like, everything really has a home. Everything has really a home.
Struggling to pray in the midst of this. I'd be like, it's okay. Don't yell at your children. Just let them play. This is the hand of God. And can you tell I sing when I'm stressed?
You sing. Yeah, exactly. Sing when you're stressed. I love it.
And I just started like blessing God in the oratory and just being like, okay, Lord, like this home is my oratory, and it's not just me, and it's not just like the beautiful parts that I put together that make it such. It is like the Legos on the floor are a mosaic that my children have built, and like these voices who are always singing are a choir, a very, very cute boys choir. And and I love that originally churches are supposed to look like the Garden of Eden. So you have like water, these holy water fonts on the corners or the edges of it, just like the rivers flowing out. And you have, you know, the man and the woman standing on the two sides of Mary and Joseph at the front of every altar. And you have the tree of knowledge of good and evil, like with Christ on it. And you also have the, what is the other tree?
Tree of life.
Yes. The tree of life is there. I don't know. The word is right there too. And you have these flowers, and you have, you know, the entire thing is meant to look like that. And I also tried to make my home look like that. This is extreme, you know. Our aggressive mountain pictures are all over our house. But like our whole downstairs is now basically green, and our upstairs is all turning blue.
Oh, I love it.
It's very nature-y. And then, it's
like,
yeah. It's
like the sky. Wait, I just caught that. Okay. I haven't been upstairs to your house in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also a very slow painting process. I've been painting my bathroom for a year now. I was like, it hasn't been that long. And Mark was like, well, it was just before our youngest was born that you started that. Oh, whoops.
You were like, darn it.
But yes, also, we've started making more intentionally. I was just thinking about, you know, obviously we share these meals on our altar, and we have our bedroom bed, which, is like an altar in and of itself and a tabernacle and, all these beautiful parts, but our stairs is where we send the kids, not always necessarily when they're being naughty. Usually, actually, they don't really go to the stairs when they're naughty. They do something, but like your emotion is not helpful in this household right now. And you just need some space from everyone. Head to the stairs. And usually it's a way of me getting space from them so that I can calm myself down and be like, okay, let me deal with this in a calm and loving way. But I always have a lot of emotions still when I go over. And so just realizing like, this is really where I speak to them, and I bring Christ's love and mercy and truth to them. So we've started, I have in process some of our patron saints and images that mean a lot to our family, and a Sacred Heart that is a Sacred Immaculate Heart that's very, very well modged against
important detail
against fingerprints of muddiness.
Oh, I understand. Protected.
Okay, yes. Okay. But I just want to be able to put my hand on them and remember Christ's heart for them. We pray every day a prayer over our whole family, and we always say, give me your heart when my own is weak, to love them as they ought to be loved. And
well, so, yeah. I mean, the other day when you were describing that to me, I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't leave my head. You're standing there, your child is sitting on the steps, it's like the confessional, and you put your hand on the Sacred Heart as you're speaking to them. And it's like, oh my gosh, the tangible reminder that I am the parent who is maybe justifiably angry about what's happening, but I am Jesus to them right now, you know, like I am the face of God to them, and I have to use the Sacred Heart of Jesus I just think you're using your house like nobody else is using their house. I mean, like, I'm sure other people are, Theology of the Home, totally. I'm not using my house like this. I'm not thinking, because if you're bringing the sacred into it, it's so much easier to walk in step with God. Of course you're going to be asking God, what do you think of this? If your hand is on the Sacred Heart, you know, like, if you're thinking this table is an altar, then it's not an inconvenience to welcome in a neighbor who's hungry. It's like, this is an altar anyways, you know? So I just think, the way you have framed this has made the whole thing really, really sacred. So I don't know. I love it. So thank you for sharing.
It's good accountability for me, because
that too
is needed in this moment.
You're like, I'm in a church right now. Right. Also hard to be like sinful when you put your hand on the Sacred Heart. You're like, oh shit. Yeah. Like he's watching me. Like, yeah. Okay. I know we talked around all sorts of things, but I have one more question for you, if that's okay. One more thing I kind of wanted to poke into and explore. And this is just from the other day. We were talking about the Acts of the Apostles. Of course, this is a time of the church where we're reading the Acts of the Apostles, and I've been doing this miniseries, so my mind has been on it. But Nora's voice memoing me the other day, and she's like, I love the Acts of the Apostles. I'm so about this. And I was like, don't you feel like it's complicated to love the Acts of the Apostles and feel a little bit like guilty or like, what am I doing? And she was like, what? No. Like, she was like not challenged in the way that I'm challenged. And the more we were talking about it, Nora kind of had this, like I said earlier, maybe half-baked idea, sure, but like this concept of how women are participating in the Acts of the Apostles. And I know one of the things that stuck out too is hospitality, which we've talked to Sean before, that the women, their role was probably opening up their homes to be the little new churches where people could offer mass, you know, like, and feeding people and sharing community things. And that must be tough. Your husband comes home and is like, I got baptized. We're all getting baptized. And you're like, okay, I guess my home is not my home anymore. So that's one side. But can you share a little bit about the other side that we were kind of playing with again, kind of that links motherhood and Acts of the Apostles?
Are you talking about with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
I feel like I'm going to be canceled by all of the rad trad Catholics out there by saying this. And I say this as a rad trad, but
there's two wings, baby.
I have really fallen in love with the Holy Spirit this Easter season, in its femininity. And I think we know that God is perfectly masculine, perfectly feminine, and his image is made when those things come together. And obviously we talk about him as God the Father. We talk about the Son as Jesus the man, because, you know, we've met him. but the Holy Spirit is not talked about in really a gender and or sex, I should say. And I do think that the Holy Spirit is so feminine in nature. There's some painter, I don't remember what he said, but he said the hardest thing to capture in nature was the glory of a woman. And you think about people always being like, it's a dove, it's a wind, it's a
it's light.
Like, what is this thing? And, you know, the Holy Ghost is this so transient, and it's inspiring these men to go out. And I really love thinking about the fact that Jesus was like this bro to all of these men, and there was a fatherhood in the Old Testament, but it's like, okay, now you've come as a brother, but they still weren't really willing to act with this like devil may care attitude, with Jesus. Mm-hmm. There was still so much caution and worrying about what he thought and everyone else thought. And then mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit comes and they act like they're in love with this woman. Like they are willing to be fools and they're like, I will fall off the end of the earth for you and I will do all these things and be beaten and it's fine and I'll be joyful.
All go to the martyrdom.
Yes. And I think that kind of selflessness, joy, is the work of a woman or a feminine urge and the response to that in men.
Even that's crazy.
My second, he has started referring to me as his wife and he is Saint George and he only calls me Una, or I am Marion and he's Robin. And it's amazing because when he sees me in that light, he's like the most obedient, lovely, wonderful little boy. And there is something about like, this is the woman I love and I will do anything. So not saying that the Holy Spirit is a woman, but I do think there's this feminine urge of the Holy Spirit, of even the way the Holy Spirit like speaks to each person individually in their own gifting. And, you know, Monica and I talk about like, okay, so how does God talk to you? And it's so vastly different. It's hilarious.
Very different.
But it's like, isn't that a woman's nature to change how she relates to different people depending on what they need, whereas
she reads the room.
Yes, so many men are just like, here I am, I'm saying this thing, and it's like, well, okay.
It's that maternal ability to relate to each child differently.
Yes, and it's maternal, and it's also like bride, I don't know how else to say that, but romantic and I don't know, that's just been inspiring to me, not only in kind of relating to the Holy Spirit in that way and getting excited and kind of reading back through the Psalm of Psalms in that way and as well, but also I think just it's called me on to my own femininity of like, if the Holy Spirit's working in me, what does that look like for my life and calling on, I mean, I'm surrounded by men and boys right now. But also like the apostles around me of speaking encouragement to them and building them up instead of breaking them down and giving them food is part of that.
That corporate work of mercy.
It's a spiritual work of mercy too, I really believe, with men.
I mean, truly.
But.
Yeah. I'm so into this. Like you said, you know, we're careful not to say Holy Spirit's a woman. We're not saying that, but like, it's okay to get near that concept because God is not, it's neither, like male and female are human things. God is beyond that. And so this picture of him as all masculine all the time is actually not the most accurate.
Yeah.
And he's described as a woman in, you know, God's love as womanly. Like, I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child.
Or
and the Holy Spirit's called the comforter.
Under her chicks. Yeah.
Yeah. A mother hen. It's like, okay, so we have to be comfortable leaning into this language a little bit. And if it's not the Father and it's not the Son, the Holy Spirit's the obvious choice. I just love your point, and I just think that's so fun that when the Holy Spirit comes, they're in love.
Yeah.
They, suddenly they're like, I'll do anything for her, you know, like for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and that comforter. Men are not comforters. Like, literally, if I was just listening to a podcast about men and women, and men, that is not their role. If they try to be comforters, it usually goes poorly, and they do not get any hormonal response when they are comforters. But women, it's like we just get such floods of oxytocin when our little babies come up to us like, I skinned my knee. We're like, get to tuck them up.
Boo-boos.
And, you know, we don't always respond well to that, but when we are able to respond well to it instead of like, all right, come on, get together. This is why we don't play with machetes.
Things you have to say that I don't have to say in my house.
We are like comforters. That is our first act. And so, yeah, I think. Anyways.
I think it's cool. I just think it helps me to read through Acts of the Apostles with a little bit of a lens, because the Holy Spirit's obviously there, but the Holy Spirit's also a little bit in between the lines, right? Yeah. And we've talked in a couple episodes ago about the hiddenness, like Mary is not detailed here, what she's up to. And there's a little bit of like implication of what she's up to.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, and just like in a home, a mother is, everywhere you look, you see the effects of the mother, but not necessarily what she's doing or that she's doing it actively, you know, but the fact that the house is neat and orderly, the children are clothed, fed, you know, clean, happy, you know, that's all her work. You know, you read between the lines and you see. So I don't know, makes the, it just feels like I have a different way to pray now about the Acts of the Apostles and how I can participate. And I'm not just a doer, but I'm a comforter. I'm actually a somebody who inspires my children and my husband and the apostles, right, around me to do the thing they're called to do. Like, I can speak words of life to my children, and that can encourage them to know who they are and to love God. And I don't know, I just think, yeah, it's a whole new way of thinking about it.
But that's also who you are so deeply, and I'm laughing that you see it as a new thing, because for... Even you had mentioned, like, I just don't know where I am in the Acts, and it seems so masculine. But this is your entire life. Like, every time I talk to you, you're like, well, I'm making a flight of cookies and cakes for this thing, and I'm taking care of all of these missionaries, and I'm teaching the Bible, and I'm... But it's all... Your husband is, like, the mover and groover apostle, technically.
Yeah.
But none of it would mean... Some of it would mean something, but it's because you're supporting that in so many ways and supporting those around you that it's like in those relational ways. And so I think this is, of course it is. This is what you do all day, every day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, thank you. I think that I am worried that I do things out of performance or thinking this is what I should do. This is what a... woman of my station should be doing, you know, woman with one child or woman who used to be a missionary or a Catholic woman should be doing. And so I do it not necessarily out of knowing that this is my call or feeling loved. So I think sometimes I have an insecurity around my choices, but I'm trying to always do the right thing. And so I guess this is the first time I've wrestled more like with, let's actually talk about this and sink our teeth into this. I don't know. So, but thank you. I think that that's, yeah.
I also a journey, think
right?
God often uses our mixed, muddled, like, well, I didn't have the best intentions, but I did try to do the thing.
Right. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, oh, I don't. Okay, well, we should probably close down this conversation.
I know, I'm sorry. Any this is probably last... like...
No, I'm loving it. Do not even apologize. I was like, please come on my podcast, you busy mom. Okay, but any last thoughts? Just wanted to open up one more time. Anything that we didn't get to talk about yet that you had on your mind?
Can we end in a prayer for all those listening?
Yes, would love it. Would you lead?
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I pray that you just bless each and every person listening, especially as we talk about your Holy Spirit, especially as we delve into the Acts of the Apostles, that you might just stop any spiritual attack and protect them from that. That's telling them that they are not enough or giving them doubts or fears. And I pray that you just fill them with a fearlessness that if any of these things planted seeds in their hearts, if any of our conversations sparked some sort of inspiration, that they just allow that to grow and not be afraid of what you're calling them to, but lean into that fear and lean into it with deep love for the Holy Spirit, deep excitement on this path that you're calling them to. Lord, please just bring them into what they are called to and let that seed, let that calling burn so deeply on their heart that they cannot help but see it and understand it, and they cannot ignore it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
This is always our prayer.
What happened near the end?
At night, we're like, Lord, whatever you are calling us to do, make it burn so deeply that we can't ignore it, because we have busy lives and we just really don't want to ignore it.
Right, and you really have to not be subtle here, okay? We don't do subtle, we don't do flirting, we do like, here is what I want. Nora, it has been a joy. Thank you so much for coming. Come again. And listeners, I hope you have loved hearing from Nora, and yeah, We'll be back next week with our final episode for Mission of Motherhood, but say goodbye to Nora. So sad.
Thank you for having me on. Lovely woman. I love you, dear heart.
Love you. Bye. If you are listening to this, it means you made it to the end of the episode. Woo! Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for coming along with us. I hope you learned something. I hope your heart was moved. I have been so enjoying having these guests on the podcast, and we're going to continue to have guests. And so I hope that these conversations bless you. If they do, please share with a friend, or please subscribe, because we're going to keep making as much content as we can here in order to help everybody to understand God's love and the Bible a little bit more, the Catholic worldview. So share, share, sure, and come back next time. Thanks so much. Bye.